Okay, we're learning to say for Shmuel Aleph. We are going to be finishing the 17th chapter today. It's very exciting. Perek Yud Zayin. We're up to page 114. And we are up to verse 45, or Pasuk Mem Hei. For all those that are afraid of violence, this is a little bit of a warning. This is a very violent, violent war over here. And a bloody battle between two men. A giant by the name of Goliath and David. Who began having a conversation with this Philistine. And of course he was being provoked by Goliath. Telling him that I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to leave your body to be consumed by the Of HaShemayim, the birds, the vultures flying overhead, and the Behemas Asad, the domesticated animals in the field. And we left off with the words of Rashi, which taught us that that was a clue that Goliath was scared. Because, as we all know, a behema, a nice, calm, domesticated animal, is not going to eat a person. Yes, fortunately, right? For all those cat owners and dog owners, unless it's a pit bull, but generally speaking, that wouldn't be a behemoth, I guess it's more of a chaya. But, yeah. He said, well, obviously, by the words that he chose, that he didn't say l'chayas hasada, or l'chayas ha'aretz, he said l'behemas hasada, it clearly showed that he was not focused, not calculated in his words, which meant that he was nervous, right? And therefore, David said, "Now this is my opportunity to attack." Pasuk Mem Hei. Vayomer David el haPlishti. So after the Philistine gave his words, David began with his own trash talk, if you will. Ata bo ilai becherev v'chanios v'kidon. I see all the weapons that you have. You have a sword, a spear, translated here as a javelin, all different weapons, because you're so petrified, because that's the only way you can defeat me. V'anochi bo ilecha b'shem Hashem Tzavakos Elokei Marchos Yisrael Asher Chirafta. Look at my hands, they're empty. I don't have a sword. Because I don't need a sword, because I have Hashem on my side, the very God in which you humiliated, the one you insulted in your words previously on the battlefield. Marchot Yisrael is like the legion or the army, the battalion of the Jewish people. Because he was insulting the Jewish people and he said, well, no one's going to fight me, right? And he said, well, this is your God, you have a powerful God, and you can't even have a single person that can defeat me. So he was ridiculing and humiliating Hashem. And some explain, as we're going to see, he also wore avodah zarah. He wore idols around his neck, which is one of the things that Haman used to always do. Like, there's nothing necessarily wrong with bowing down to a person. We see Yaakov did himself. Yaakov bowed down to Esau. But Haman wore an idol around his neck. So when a person bowed, it was also acknowledging idols. So He actually said, Goliath did, that my idol is able to defeat your God. My God can defeat your God. So he humiliated, ridiculed Hashem. Said, my God will utilize me as the vehicle to destroy you. Without the sword, without the spear. Pasuk Mem Vav. Hayom hazeh, this day, yisagercha Hashem biyadi. Yisagercha, as it's translated here in the Masuda Sion, is an Indian of Masira, giving over. Hashem will give you over to my hands, v'kisicha, and I'll smite you, v'asiros yes roshcha mi'alecha. And after you die, don't think I'm going to be so kind to your remains. I'm going to chop your head off. V'nosati peger machne plishnim hayom hazeh. And I will give peger, as the Masuda Sion translates for us, Ken Yikra Gup Hames, a corpse.
Peger is a
A pagar, right, that's Tamas Tudasion. That's what we call the body of a person who died. It's a pagar. I will bring the corpse to the camp of the Philistines on this day. And who will enjoy your flesh? Ofa Shemaim L'chayes Ha'aretz. And you see, David, who is good with his speech, said Chayes Ha'aretz. The birds, that you were right. Birds will enjoy, but also the Chayes, the wild beasts, the lions, the bears, which I was able to defeat, by the way. Those are the animals that will devour your flesh. V'yedu kol aretz, and the entire world at that point will know, ki yesh Elokim v'Yisrael, that there is a God unto Israel. Now, we're going to see this pasuk, and then the next one. First it says, v'yedu kol aretz, the entire world will know. Not just the Jewish people. We're talking about the entire world will know God's power, God's tremendous power in this world, as opposed to what we'll see in the next pasuk, which is we're up to pasuk Mem Zion. V'yedu kol hakahal hazeh ki lo b'cherev v'chanios Yoshi Hashem. Not only will the other nations know, but also my nation, the Jewish people, will realize that it's not through the means of a spear or the means of a cherub of a sword, Yoshi Hashem, will Hashem give us salvation. Kil Hashem hamilchama, because God is the one who will wage war for us, v'nasan eschem b'yadenu, and Hashem will deliver you into our hands. And this is the words that he said back to Goliath. To this Philistine. Fine.
This is a thought carried out by the Nevi'im throughout.
Right. That's right. But he's not just saying it, he's proving it, yeah. Putting his life on the line, which is a whole lot more than words. Let's look at the Mesudas Sion, and the Mesudas David. Mesudas David says along these lines, he says, Kilo b'cherev, ki halo einam biadi. It's not the sword, because I'm not just saying, oh, this no, you know, it's not the sword that I'm victorious with, but yet I'm holding a sword. Mesudas David tells us, ki halo ein biyadi. Look, I'm not holding anything, nothing up my sleeves, right? I am ready and willing to fight you, and I don't have any swords, anything. And you're this huge giant, completely armored from head to toe, because Hashem is with me. Shows the greatness of emunah, of faith that David Melch had. Okay. Continue with the next pasuk Memchet. Verse 48 says, Vahaya ki kam ha-pelishti, and it was when the Philistine got up, v'yelech, he went, v'yikrav likras David. He came closer to greet David, not with a handshake, but with his sword, ready to kill him. And as this Philistine started running on the battlefield to approach David, to build up the adrenaline and the momentum to be able to fight him, the v'yamaher David did the same. He went hastily, v'yaret hamarach likras ha-plishti, and he also ran out to greet this Philistine. And some explain, as we find in the story of Bilam, we know that Bilam, who was a Rasha, he hated the Jewish people. The Torah tells us that he got up early and he saddled his donkey, right? And it shows the incredible importance of Zrizus. That when we do a mitzvah, or in his case, anything in Avera, do it quickly, with enthusiasm. That's the way to do it. And the Rashi over there said, Hashem said, Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Russia, you're a wicked man, Bilam. Kvar Kadmach Avraham Avinu. Abraham, our forefather, had preempted you. Shinamar, as it's said with regard to the sacrificing of Yitzchak, Yashkim Abraham Baboker Yachlosh Eschamoro, that Abraham, before you, got up early to saddle his donkey. But we see the importance that apparently, what Rashi is telling us over there, is that if it weren't for Abraham and his Rizus to counteract the quickness of Bilam, then Bilam perhaps would have been okay to have been able to attack the Jewish people. And therefore, some explain that as soon as David saw Goliath beginning to run toward him with Zerizus, he had to counter it also as Abraham did with Zerizus. And therefore, v'yimaher David v'yarachs. That's the reason why he went quickly and ran after the Philistine. Now, if we look at the Radak, this is exactly what the Radak tells us. Radak says on page 116, the very top line, "V'haya ki kam haplishti." Only once he saw the Philistine started moving, he ran after him too, because that's an Indian zeros. It's a language of going quickly. Kamo kum avor, as it says elsewhere in the beginning of the book of Joshua, to go and get up quickly. And jumping a couple lines, the atan now, kasher shama divrei David, be'erech hamaso bo, v'nizdarez alechas elav. That as soon as he heard the words of David, and the way he was speaking to him, he ran quickly to David to kill him because he incited him. He got him very angry, and therefore David had to counter it by running after him as well. So again, we can never underestimate, not only when we do something, we should do it with enthusiasm. Not only will it be better for others because it shows, well, it's not, you're not dragging your heels when you do something, but it's something you love to do. It could therefore it'll inspire other people to follow suit, but it also creates a completely different action when you actually are engaged in that activity, whatever it may be. By doing it with haste, quickly, it shows in yourself how much you really care for the thing what you're doing. That's the importance of doing a mitzvah with zrizus, quickly. So this is the reason why they ran to one another, running to one another to kill. Pasuk mem tes, vayishlach David es yado el kli. Now this guy had nothing in his hands. So David had to, obviously, a few more seconds, someone was going to die. So David stretched out his hand, El HaKli, into the vessel, like his sack, which remember he had five smooth stones, which we discussed the significance of five. Vayikach Misham Evan Vayikala, and he took out his stone, one of his stones, and he started to swing it around with his slingshot. V'yaches haplishti el mischa. And as he let the stone fly out of his slingshot, it landed directly al mischa, on the forehead of Goliath. And it was such an incredibly powerful blow to his head. V'titba evan b'mischa, that it caused that the stone penetrated into his forehead, caving his head in. Vayipol al panav artsa. And it was a deadly blow that he fell face forward onto the ground. Vayipol al panav artsa. So instead of him getting hit, generally speaking, which we're going to discuss the significance of this, person, you know, based on the laws of gravity and things of that nature, a person gets hit, you're going to move back, right? So if you get shot, let's say a person gets hit in the head, you're supposed to fall backwards. It's interesting that he gets hit in the head, and instead he falls forward. Just doesn't seem logical. We're going to discuss the reason why. There's a few explanations why Hashem purposely had him fall forward as opposed to falling backward, which seems to be the more natural reaction.
I don't know. When a train is going and it stops suddenly,
right.
I
mean, we can do an experiment now, and okay. Anyone have a rock, but see what happens. See which way you fall.
Very well acquainted with modern-day rock throwing and what happens.
Yes, that's true. Unfortunately, that is the case. Anyway, we're going to discuss this, but nonetheless, that's going to be one of the questions. Now, before we get into the way he fell, it's interesting where he was hit. He was hit on the forehead. And the language of the actual, of the pasuk is el mitzcho. Mitzcho means a person's forehead. And it's brought down by Chazal why was he, could have been hit anywhere? You know, if it was a miracle, he could have been hit in the heart.
The only place he didn't have armor.
But we're going to see that's another question. Was he wearing a helmet, right? He wasn't wearing a protection over here. You know, that's also very difficult. You'd think he'd have some protection. So that's something that's another question we're going to get to.
He could have gone that way, you know, and David was shorter.
Right. Very good. Right, we're going to see that in a moment.
Didn't you say last time that he was fully clothed in armor?
Yes.
And David only had a shepherd's thing, a shirt.
He couldn't wear the armor because he wasn't equipped to move with it, or he saw the Ayin Hara, David. Right, but Goliath was fully, we saw pasuk after pasuk completely. Right.
He didn't wear the armor because he had faith in Hashem.
Right. David had faith, David. Right. Goliath had faith in himself.
In his idol himself.
So Chazal actually explained the significance of the Metzach. There's an expression, which we actually say it on Yom Kippur during Vidui, that one of the things that a person should try to improve themselves on is to minimize one's Azus Metzach, which is translated as stubbornness, haughtiness, certainly a negative trait. But it's interesting, the language is Azus Metzach. Metzach means the forehead. And this stubbornness and haughtiness was Goliath, because he said, I'm powerful, no one could... He let everything go to his head. That's what Azus Metzach was. So it was a punishment, a direct punishment. That's exactly where he was killed. The place which embodies Azus Metzach, the fact that he was so full of himself and he felt so powerful and so great, he let things go to his head, so he was killed specifically by the forehead. If we look at the Radak, so the Radak over here is lengthy but very important to see. In Pasuk Mem Tes, the very beginning of the Radak tells us the forehead, that he was hit El Mitzcho, Kamo al Mitzcho, just as it says, on the forehead. And he brings other Kamo, as it says, the Amlichenu El Hagilon, bringing other sources, El Harim Lo Achal. Okay, now the Radak continues and says the following: Yesh Sho'alim, there are those that ask the question, Heich Tava Ha'eben B'Mitzcho. How is it possible that this stone was able to hit this guy in the forehead, an unexposed forehead? Valo kaveyan nochoshes shahaya rosho mechase mitzcho. Isn't that true that he had a copper helmet, and this was, we talked about how heavy it was. It was very thick armament on his head, covering his forehead. So v'i esher, it's impossible. How can you tell me, oh, he didn't have his forehead, this part of his head covered? Makes no sense. Right? We see in these gladiator movies, they wear entire mask with this tiny little opening just for their eyes. Not any possibility for anything to hit them to do damage. It's impossible to say his forehead was uncovered. Shahari, al kol gufo hayulo davar magen. He was protected by his entire body. V'olrim, and we say, ki kasher. So how do we answer this? How did this part get revealed? So the Torah tells us as follows. Interesting words of the Radak. This is one of the answers. Ki kasher amar, when David said, why was David saying this? Just to get him angry? He was saying, oh, I'm going to kill you, and the animals are going to devour you, and the birds in the sky are going to devour you. What was he doing? Just to get him angry? What's the purpose of that? Why is that effective? So David did it because he was looking for a very small window of opportunity to kill him. Amar, as soon as David said, "Ve'etna es besarchel opa shemayim," I am going to kill you, and those birds up there, right up there, those birds floating around, those birds are going to eat your flesh. As soon as he said that, Goliath, what would a person do? Right? A lot of times kids say, well, what's that? I made you look, right? So what did he do? He beat Klapi Milo, Bezikra Ofa Shemayim. As soon as David mentioned about the birds, Goliath looked up like this. And what happened to his hat, which was at one point nice and protecting his forehead? It moved up for that one moment. V'nishmat ma shahayal mitzchol achor. And because his helmet, the way it was situated, it moved up. Therefore, as he began to fight, it doesn't mean he necessarily killed him at that second because they were running afterwards, but at least it means that his armament were not situated in the same protective way that it was. The Uz and then Kola David Vikal Al Mitzko. That was the very place where he hit him. So that's one explanation the Radak gives us. The Radak gives us another explanation. If we jump down to the fourth medium-sized line, where it says O Eshar, which is in the middle of that line, which is the last words of this Radak. O Eshar, it's possible, Shahaya Makum Muet Megula, it's possible there was a small part which was revealed, Bimkomo in its place, Vosa Makum Ha'evan Nizdamna Baratzan Hakeo. And that little space is where he was killed. So it says, it does, maybe that part of his head was always exposed, exactly. So that's another possibility as well. Okay, now that answers the question of how was it possible that he was killed and that part was not protected. You can take one of the two explanations of the Radak. But then we have the other question, not doing the science experiment as much as you'd like to. The reality is if you would hit someone, they should go in that direction of the punch. A person is hit, person goes that way. So if a person gets hit with a rock, he should fall back. Why did he fall? As the Pasuk tells us in Memtes, it says that he fell, v'yipol al-pan of arza. He fell on his face. So let's see the Radak again. The Radak tells us a couple explanations. The Radak, which is the next one, starting with the words v'drash, which is that same line, but toward the end of that line, v'drash, which is in v'yikra rabba, says, lama v'yipol al-pan of. Why did he fall on his face? Should have fallen backwards. It's because if you fall on your face, there's something which is on everyone's face. Your mouth. And the significance of him falling on the ground and falling in the dirt, right? Another one bites the dust, as the Queen's song says. Kedei sheyitmon oso hapeh. In order that mouth, shecharef egadav b'afar, that mouth which spoke so poorly against God, that blasphemed and cursed God, let that dirty, disgusting mouth eat dirt, right? Nowadays we give kids, well, we put soap in their mouth because we want, but this guy's already dead, so we're teaching a lesson of putting dirt in their mouth. Shneamar, as it says, Tamim ba'afar yachad. Okay. Dabar acher, another explanation of why did Hashem cause him to fall on his face? Shahaya Dagon Elohav. I'm supposed to say it that way because it's God, lowercase g, by the name of Dagon. And we discussed this many parakim back, comes from the word Dag, fish. That it was actually a god which some say is half fish, half human, but it was an idol that many people worshipped in those days. Chokoklo Alibo. That he had this idol that he was wearing that was on his flesh in front of him, on his heart, and therefore let this idol, which he was saying has this power, let that idol be crushed and fall directly onto the ground. So that's the second explanation of why he fell face forward. Either because of his mouth, which was dirty and should be in the dirt. So too, also another explanation is the idols should fall directly into the dirt. Okay, we look at the Rashi over here. Rashi discusses this issue as well. On the very first words of Rashi, it's v'yipol al-panav, he fell on his face. Lo hayo lipo el-achav. So Rashi actually asks the question. He should have fallen back, not forward. Shahari al mitzcho huka, because he was hit on the forehead. So naturally, Rashi says you should fall backwards. Ella says Rashi, interesting. A third explanation. Why did he fall forward toward David and not far back from David? Shlo yitzta'er David leleth v'lachtach esrosha. David made a promise, and he has to, a man of his word, he has to keep his promise. What was his promise? I'm going to cut your head off, right? So he can't, you know, he promised him, you know, he has to make good on his promise. So what's the problem? That if he falls backwards, what will happen? Shnishdachar David Hashem Shnayim Esri Amos Verzartayim. Shikadmahu Shish Amos Vzeras. So we said that this guy was no slouch. He was a tall man. Goliath was 6 cubits, and if we would call a cubit 2 feet, that's 12 feet right there. And a Zeres, which is either a pinky or it's really half of a cubit. He was, some explain, 13 feet tall. A very tall guy. So if he would have fallen backwards, it would have been very difficult. David would have had to have walked another 13 feet. And, you know, why would we want to stress him out? So by having him fall forward, this way David wouldn't have to fall at all to cut the guy's head off. Now, the obvious question is, who cares? I mean, David traveled all the way from, left his sheep behind, traveling to a completely different city, traveling to a battlefield. The guy doesn't mind traveling. So another 13 feet is probably not going to kill him, right? But the significance is that when Hashem did a nes, does a miracle for someone, it was completely miraculous, he goes all the way. And he helped the tzaddik to the point that he doesn't want to be mitztayer. Some actually explain to the point that he wants to do the miracle so much to show that no one could possibly think that any of it was within Teva, was in within nature. By him not only dying through a little stone, but dying in a even falling in a way which is with, which is not within the means of nature, everyone will know that it was a miracle, and therefore that's what David said. The whole reason why is that people should know, V'yedu kol ha'kahal hazeh, everyone should know that it's Hashem that is with us. And that's the reason why, perhaps you can read that into Rashi, that's the reason why he fell in that particular
manner. That's why I wonder why they went through all of this. I mean, to me, that would be the most obvious. Well, not according to nature.
Well, sometimes Rashi sticks to...
No, I mean, even the others in Suez
don't. Right, I'm curious, didn't Goliath had protected people around him to protect him?
He did have a soldier that was nearby. But
he didn't have a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, I mean, we see nowadays you have a president who has a secret service crawling over the place, and guess what happens? They get assassinated.
Anyway.
You know.
But you would think that
this is a bullet. That's what it was.
They would go after David if
not
what
after
he did.
Not after that. No, that's not after that.
That's one thing, and the other thing is, Goliath did say he did make a pact that whoever wins this, that nation will rule over the other.
Oh, he did.
That's what he said in the beginning of the chapter. Yeah. So therefore, once he won, you know, it's our tough luck.
Yeah.
We certainly thought he was going to win. Unfortunately, we lost, and that's it. You know, so that's another way to look at it. Pretty much. But we're still going to see that they're going to be pursued. The Jewish people are going to chase after the Philistines to make sure that they don't start up with them again. Let's continue with Pasuk Nun. Vayechazak David min haplishti bekela be'even vayachas haplishti v'miseihu. So David went toward this Philistine, and as he overpowered him with his slingshot and his stone, he killed the Philistine, which some say it means that he wasn't yet dead. V'cherev ein biyad David. There was no sword in David's hand. V'yarat David v'yamod el haplishti. So David ran to the Philistine, not too far. V'yikach escharbo, and he took his sword. And that's what the Masudas David tells us, because after all, he didn't have a sword. He said, I'm going to chop your head off. Well, what do you mean? You don't even have a sword. How are you going to do it? I'm going to use your sword. I'm going to use your gun against you. That's what David did. So he took this Philistine sword, Vayishlafa Mitara, Vayishlafa, Mesuda Sion says he Hotzia, he took it out, Mitara, from his the holder of the sword.
Scabbard.
Okay. Vimosehu, and he killed him with this guy's sword. The Ikhras Bas Rosh cut off his head. They saw that this powerful Philistine had died, and like most of us would do, they ran away. The Akuma Anshe Israel Yehuda. So the Jewish people and Yehuda, they pursued after him, after them. Vyariu Vyirdifu Esa Pilishtim Vyariu Mesudas David explains that they screamed out with joy over this victory toward the Philistines, and they chased after them. It also means they blew sounds and shofarot, trumpets. Ad Boacha, Gai v'Ad Shari Ekron. They're chasing him to these cities. V'yipul Chali Polishim b'derech Sharayim v'Ad Gus v'Ad Ekron. And they continued to kill the Philistines to all these different cities. They were just chasing them out of their territory, completely out of the way. Okay, Pasuk Nun Gimel. V'yashuvu b'nei Yisrael midlok. And yeah, the Jewish people returned midlok achrei plishtin. Midlok, as Rashi says over here, is radov, to after they pursued after the Philistines. Also, this is also Masudas Sion translates it the same way, that after midlok means that after they were done pursuing after the Philistim, v'yashosu es machaneihem. V'yashosu is translated by Yeshosu is translated over here as who tells us this translation? The Masudas David. Yeshosu is Ramsu Vozazu, that they plundered and they were able to take all the booty from their camps. So after they ran after the Philistines, they went and took as much of their belongings and possessions and their wealth as possible. Okay, Pasuk Nun Dalet. Vayikach David as Rosh HaPlishti. Now, while everyone else was having fun gathering all the golden coins they can stick in their pockets, David was holding on to not money, but something else. Rosh HaPlishti, the head of the Philistine. Vayivyehu Yerushalayim, and he brought it to Jerusalem. Bes Kalev Sumb Alo. In his vessel, which means his sword or his weaponry, he placed in his tent. We look at the Radak over here. The Radak in Pasuk Nundala tells us, V'yivyehu Yerushalayim, Acher she'yivyehu lifnei Shaul. After he went in front of the king, which we're about to see, this is telling us this is what he did later on. But this is a little bit out of order because hasn't left yet. He's still going to encounter the king to talk to him about his victory. Kamosha Kosov, as we're going to see later on in verse 57, Brosha Pelishti Biado, that the head of the Philistine is in his hands. Viachakachavio Biado, Bari Yisrael, Levaser Anushavatah. And afterwards he went to the other cities to tell the women and the children of the victory. V'osim Shulhoid Muhammad, the others who weren't at war. Until he finally got to Jerusalem. So he went there eventually. And then the next Radak tells us that he brought the swords, some Baalo, to his tent. Kli HaPelishti, says the Radak, these weapons of Goliath, some Baalo, he put in his tent. Kolomar, why did he put it on his trophy case next to his the bear head and the lion head, which he killed? Kavim David Lebeso Beislachim. He brought it to Beis Lachem, where he lived, and jumping to the next line, toward the very end of that line, Kisham HaCherib Ohel Moed. But no, some say that he actually took the sword and put it in the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, in the city of Nov, where the Kohanim would serve. And the reason, as the next line says, Sham was Zikaron Hanes HaGadol Hazeh. That whenever anyone would see the sword, which had a huge sword by a huge giant, they saw the incredible miracle. They were reminded of the miracle that occurred on the battlefield with David and Goliath. Anyone who would go to the city, Nov, to bring sacrifices or to pray, they would see the sword. They would remember the miracle. They would admit to the greatness of God, and they would in turn have a greater level of bitachon, faith in Hashem. And that's the reason why he put his sword in such a place. Okay. Pasuk mem hey, nun hey. V'chiros Shaul es David. When Shaul saw this guy by the name of David, Yotzei likras haplishti. He went out to greet, and he went toward the Philistines. Amar el Avner. So the king went to this guy by the name of Avner, who was Sar Hasava, who was the powerful general, powerful man of the army. Ben Mizahanar Avner. He asked Avner, who is this guy? Who is this guy that killed Goliath? Who is this man? But Yomer Avner, and Avner said, you know what? Chei nashecha hamelch. I swear to you, by the life of myself, imi yodati, if I know. I have no idea who this guy is. But Yomer Hamelech, pasuk nun vav. And the king said, Sha'alata, ask him, ben mizeh ha'alem. Ask him, who is this? Who is this ha'alem? And Musuda Sion says, Nar, who is this kid? Who is this guy? Ah, what's going on over here? Shaul had this guy playing the harp and everything. Okay, so it's a very difficult problem. So let's look at the Masudas David.
Did he know that it was David who did it? Maybe he was going out to find him. Did he know that David?
David, in fact, if you remember, David was talking, oh wow, what's the reward? What's the reward? So they said, we're going to bring you to this powerful king. His name is Saul. King Shaul was saying, you look at you, you're not a good soldier. So they already had a conversation. He knew this guy was fighting. He knew who it was because he played the harp for him all the time. What is he asking this question? Ben Mizeh Hanar. Who is this guy? So there's a few explanations. We're going to see Masudas David inside, and we'll discuss the Radak, unfortunately, outside because of the shortness of time. Masudas David tells us a very practical reason. How could he possibly not have known who this was? Says the Masudas David, Mipnei haruach ra shachach sham aviv. Because Shaul had a ruach ra, which it's translated in 117 as he had depression. But ruach ra means there was something wrong with him. Perhaps he was, you know, forgetting things. Could be something along those lines, that's what happened to him. He forgot who he was. Forgot who his father was. So that's why he asked, who is this man? Who is this man? Now,
isn't ruach ra a bad soul?
Yeah, I mean, what happened was when he was removed from the remaining of a king, even though he was the king, it was given to David, he lost this ruach hagavura, this powerful spirit, and he developed this ruach ra, that the harp was the only way to calm him down. So, the Radak explains, he gives a couple of explanations. It's a very lengthy Radak, which continues onto the next page, 117, which I was looking forward to seeing the whole thing. But basically what he was asking was, who is his father? I know it's David. I know who he is. I want to know if, in fact, he is fit to be the next king. Because I'm very concerned that this guy shows tremendous leadership abilities. And I don't want to lose my position of being a king. Who is this guy? Tell me not just who he is, but I want to know who he comes from. And he explains, it's a very lengthy Radak, it's very worth seeing inside, that there's a question, because we know that Yehuda, from Yehuda, Yehuda, that the royal scepter will not be removed from Yehuda, he'll be the king, that he had two children, Peretz and Zerach. So he wanted to know, does he come from Zerach, who was Tamar and Yehuda's offspring? Then he would not be the king. The only person that will be a king is someone not just comes from Yehuda, but someone from Peretz. And if he comes from Peretz, then I'm going to be concerned that he's going to be the king. And then the Radak continues and says, because I remember when I put on the armor, it shrunk for him, which again showed that he will be the next king. And when Avner answered the question, he said, I don't know. In fact, he said, you have a problem. You're telling me, you're wondering if he's fit to be a king. He might not even be fit to marry a Jewish woman. Why? And he brings the story. He said, you know, he comes from, I know his great-grandmother. His great-grandmother's name is Ruth. And Ruth comes from Moab. And the Torah tells us specifically that Lo Yavo Moab B'Kal Hashem, a Moabite, you're not allowed to marry. And Boaz learned it's only a man and not a woman. So he asked, well, why is that so? After all, it says you're not allowed to marry a mamzer. It doesn't mean you can marry a mamzeret. It doesn't make a difference. So why is it this way? So he said the reason is as follows. The reason why we cannot marry an Ammon and Moab is because the men did not, when the Jewish people needed food and water, they did not provide for them those foods and drinks. And therefore, because of that, only the men were not permitted, but he is allowed. But that was the whole question the Radak explains, and their answer was, I don't know. We're going to finish the Perek, even though I didn't give that Radak justice, and I apologize for that. But we're going to conclude because we have to see the next two sentences. Okay, Pasuk Nun Zayin. Ukshuv David mihakos es haplishti. When he finished smiting the Philistine, v'yikacho so Avner, and Avner took him, v'yaviyev lichni shol, he brought him to the king. V'rosh haplishti b'yado, and the head of the Philistine was still in his hand. V'yomer elav shol, and Shol asked, ben miata hanar, who's your father? V'yomer David, and David said, Ben Avdecha Yishai Beis Halachmi. My father's name is Yishai Beis Halachmi. Beis Halachmi could mean one of two things. And we'll conclude with the word for the Radak. Beit Lechem, Bethlehem, really means two things. When he said Beit Halachmi, says the Radak, which is the very first Radak on page 118, Ben Gibor Ani, I am a strong man. Ki avi nikra Beit Lachmi, because my father is called Beit Lachmi for two reasons. Al shem mikomo, Beit Lechem, the name of the city is Beit Lechem. But also, what does Bethlehem mean? V'al shem shaya ish milchama. Beit Lachem, Lachem comes from milchama, war. And therefore, the reason why I was victorious is not only because of my zechut, my merits, but also because of zechus avos, the merits of my father. And even more than that, the fact that I'm related to Peretz and to Yehuda, because ultimately, he, David, will become the next king.